All right. Hi. there's something that I want to read tonight, and I don't think I'll post it anywhere. Probably just to soundcast some page, but it's been on my mind, and I hope that the one that inspired me to read this hasn't completely disappeared from Reddit. Because it sparked quite a bit of curiosity in me, and so I went and tracked down the book that the passage was from. A bit too late, it seems, since their account has already been deleted, but this is dedicated to them, and I get a bit terrified reading out loud, so I'm probably gonna butcher this. It's more of like an anxiety thing than actually a reading thing, but sorry in advance. Whether we listen with aloof amusement to the dreamlike mumbo-jumbo of some red-eyed witch doctor of the Congo, or read with cultivated rapture thin translation from the sonnets of a mystic Laose, now and again crack the hard nutshell of an argument of Aquinas, or suddenly catch the shining meaning of a bizarre Eskimo fairy tale, it will always be the one shape-shifting, yet marvelously constant story that we find, together with a challengingly persistent suggestion of more remaining to be experienced than will ever be known or told. Throughout the inhabited world, in all times, and under every circumstance, myths of man have flourished, and they have been the living inspiration of whatever else may have appeared out of the activities of the human body and mind. It would not be too much to say that myth is the secret opening through which the inexhaustible energies of the cosmos pour into the human cultural manifestation. Religions, philosophies, arts, the social forms of primitive and historic man, prime discoveries in science and technology, the very dreams that blister sleep, boil up from the basic magic ring of myth. The wonder is that characteristic efficacy to touch and inspire a deep creative centers that dwells in the smallest nursery fairy tale. As the flavor of the ocean is contained in a droplet, or the whole mystery of life within the egg of a flea. For the symbols of mythology are not manufactured. They cannot be ordered, invented, or permanently suppressed. They are spontaneous productions of the psyche, and each bears within it, undamaged, the germ power of its source. What is the secret of the timeless vision? From what profundity of the mind does it derive? Why is mythology everywhere the same? Beneath its varieties of costume. And what does it teach? Today, many scientists are contributing to the analysis of the riddle. Archaeologists are probing the ruins of Iraq, honing Crete and Yucatan. Ethnologists are questioning the ostriches of the river Ob, the boobies of Ferdinand Poe. A generation of Orientalists has recently thrown open to us the sacred writings of the East, as well as the pre-Hebrew sources of our own Holy Writ. And meanwhile, another host of scholars, pressing researches begun last century in the field of folk psychology, has been seeking to establish the psychological bases of language, myth, religion, art development, and moral codes. Most remarkable of all, however, are the revelations that have emerged from the mental clinic. The bold and truly epic-making writings of the psychoanalysts are indispensable to a student of mythology. For whatever may be thought of the detailed and sometimes contradictory interpretations of specific cases and problems, Freud, Jung, and their followers have demonstrated irrefutably that the logic and the heroes and the deeds of myth survive into modern times. In the absence of an effective general mythology, each of us has his private, unrecognized, rudimentary, yet secretly potent pantheon of dream. The latest incarnation of Oedipus, the continued romance of Beauty and the Beast, stand this afternoon on the very corner of 42nd Street and 5th Avenue, waiting for the traffic light to change. Alright, and then gonna skip ahead to the next passage. All right. I'd be surprised if you're still listening, but okay. All right. Ariadne, the daughter of King Minos, fell in love with the handsome Theseus the moment she saw him disembark from the boat that had brought the pitiful group of Athenian youths and maidens for the Minotaur. She found a way to talk with him and declared that she would supply a means to help him back out of the labyrinth if he would promise to take her away from Crete with him and make her his wife. The pledge was given. Ariadne turned for help then to the crafty Daedalus, by whose art the labyrinth had been constructed, and Ariadne's mother enabled to give birth to its inhabitant. Daedalus simply presented her with a skein of linen thread, which the visiting hero might fix to the entrance and unwind as he went into the maze. It is, indeed, very little that we need. But lacking that, the adventure into the labyrinth is without hope. The little is close at hand. Most curiously, the very scientist who, in the service of the sinful king, was the brain behind the horror of the labyrinth, quite as readily can serve the purposes of freedom. But the hero heart must be at hand. For centuries, Daedalus has represented the type of artist-scientist, that curiously disinterested, almost diabolic human phenomenon. Beyond the normal bounds of social judgment, dedicated to the morals, not of his time, but of his art. He is the hero of the way of thought, single-hearted, courageous, and full of faith that the truth, as he finds it, shall make us free. And so now we may turn to him as Ariadne. The flax for the linen of his thread he had gathered from the fields of the human imagination. Centuries of husbandry, decades of diligent culling, the work of numerous hearts and hands have gone into the heckling, sorting, and spinning of this tightly twisted yarn. Furthermore, we have not even to risk the adventure alone, for the heroes of all time have gone before us. The labyrinth is thoroughly known. We have only to follow the thread of the hero path, and where we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a god. Where we had thought to slay another, we shall slay ourselves. Where we had thought to travel outward, we shall come to the center of our own existence. Where we had thought to be alone, we shall be with all the world.